Hi, Malia. How are you? Very, very, very well. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us here this morning. This is kind of an important topic, and a lot of people sometimes kind of put this on the back burner, don't they?
Oh, they sure do. That's what we found anyway.
Why don't you go ahead and give us a kind of a rundown of exactly what you found, and then we can dive into some maybe a little more specifics as we go forward with this. This was not really a big surprise probably for you, but those that may not think about it, obviously they don't think about it. That's some of the reasons for the results that you found, huh?
Yeah, truly, truly. And I think that the results were even surprising, you know, to me, who kind of, you know, does this on a daily basis. But RBC Wealth Management did some research, and we released the Wealth Transfer Report, which is basically the results of our study into looking at the giving and receiving habits of Americans. We also looked at individuals in the United Kingdom and in Canada. But it's truly some of the most comprehensive research work that has been done with regard to individuals' intentions and behavior around giving and receiving wealth. Over I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I took a little pause there, but
sorry, I'm used to moving forward, and when I hear a pause, I want to fill it up, so I apologize for that.
No problem.
But giving and receiving wealth, one of those things, and I think many, many people misunderstand the word wealth, and I think that may be part of the issue, is because somebody says, well, I don't really have anything to pass on. I don't really have anything to give anybody, and they don't think about what happens when they pass away or when they become get to a point where they need to do something. We all have more assets than we think we do sometimes, and I think maybe many people forget that, and that's probably part of what you're finding with these studies, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think you're right on there in that, you know, assets, wealth has a very broad, encompasses a broad range of assets. It's not only, you know, investments, but, you know, real estate. If you've got farmland, if you have a home, and even, you know, investment assets that many people think, well, I'm not wealthy enough to have to worry about it. You know, in most states, if you have assets that are larger than, say, around $50,000, some states even $25,000 in total, you're going to have to go through a process to transfer that wealth, going through basically the probate process. And so, you know, by definition, there is a need to be concerned for how those assets, how that wealth does transfer.
And it's amazing because it's not really a difficult process. It is just a matter of deciding how you want to get these things accomplished. And if there is any kind of assets, as you pointed out, who those assets are intended to go to. It's not really, there are a vast array of financial advisors and legal advisors that can help you accomplish these things. And I think maybe people are a little frightened by that or by the thought process. And I think part of what goes along with all of this, and I'm not trying to speak for you, obviously, this is your interview, but I think a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to think about dying. I don't want to think about having to pass on my estate, whatever, however it is, however big or small it is. And I think we tend to procrastinate and put this off and put this off and put this off. And there is a point when it comes to be too late, and then things get really complicated.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I think there are a lot of emotional roadblocks, a lot of hurdles to overcome with regard to having the conversation. You know, talking about what happens when I'm not here is something that people can avoid and do avoid. And also, I think sometimes family dynamics complicate that conversation. If you've got, three or four children, and one or two of those children are, having their own successes and doing very well, but maybe one or two are floundering, it's hard to have that conversation because I think many individuals think, well, I have to, transfer my assets equally. That's the way to be fair. but equal doesn't always mean fair. And so having to work through that and process that is often just a difficult thing for people to do, so they don't go down that path.
They put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off. And I think that's one of the things, I think you touched on something else that is very important, is fair is, I mean, life is not fair. And so when it comes to those assets and when it comes to how they're divided up or how they are distributed, that is really, excuse me, that's really the sole choice of the people that currently own those assets, and the distribution thereof, and really shouldn't be that much of a difficult decision. I know in my own family there was a little piece of land, and it wasn't very big. My parents fortunately decided that I was to have it,
mm-hmm.
and they made sure that got covered before they passed away. So there was no question on the part of any of my other relatives who may have had an interest in this. It was all taken care of beforehand, and so I was very fortunate in that regard, because they did plan ahead, and they did say in their will, this is what's going to happen, this is how we want it to happen, and so there were no problems whatsoever. But I know that many, many families do not take those steps, and many, many families do not set this aside, make these decisions early on in the process, as you're saying, and that really winds up creating many, many more problems than necessary.
It does, because I think if it's not understood, so if there is an asset, like you mentioned, with regard to a piece of land, or if it's a family business, or if it's, you know, a family farm, and, you know, there may be one or two children who are interested and involved, there may be others that aren't, the disposition of that asset is not perceived to be done in a way that is equal. So, for instance, if there are four children and two children wind up inheriting the family farm and the other two get other assets, the two that didn't receive the farmland, if that is maybe the most valuable asset, then there can be some real hard feelings, and that can perpetuate for generations. Unfortunately, I've seen that happen. So by having those conversations and, you know, putting the plan in place and then, you know, delivering the message about the planning and why it was done and how it's going to happen diffuses a lot of that potential angst down the line.
Absolutely. And another thing, as you know, believe it or not, sometimes the larger asset is really not necessarily always the best one.
True. It's a responsibility.
That's right. Sometimes if you have, say, you've got a 200-acre farm versus an antique automobile, the antique automobile, the person who gets that in the will thinks they've been slighted, and they really haven't, because it's so much simpler to transfer something like that. And over the long haul, it will be probably more beneficial to own the antique automobile than perhaps a large chunk of land. And you mentioned something else that I want to touch on real quick, and I know I've got to let you go because you've got some other interviews to do and some time constraints, but how does Americans sometimes tend to be a little slow to catch on to things, and you mentioned that this is a survey that also looked at how this is done in the United Kingdom and perhaps Canada. Are Americans, are we really, really sloppy at this compared to the rest of the world, or are we better at this than anybody else, or how does the United States shake out in terms of comparing with other countries in this regard with passing along our assets?
Well, I think what we found is that in all three of those countries, we're all about equally on par. In other words, what we found is about 30% of those that we interviewed do have a wealth transfer plan in place. So, I'm sorry, less than 30% do have a wealth transfer plan in place. So, and that was equal across the board. And the other statistic that we found was that 30% with a variance of maybe a couple percentage points between the countries said that they have absolutely no plan in place. So, I guess the good news is we are no worse at this than maybe those in the United Kingdom or in Canada. but there's still a lot of opportunity for improvement, for all of those countries. But in particular, in the United States, we're going to have about $3.2 trillion in assets transferring to the next generation, and that's just here in the United States alone. So it is a big, big, a change in wealth that's coming down the pike, and there's great opportunity for individuals to make some adjustments and get those overall wealth transfer plans in place.
Very good. And as a wrap up here, do you have any particular suggestions for someone who may have questions about this? What's the idea? Because, as you pointed out as we began this, many people just are lost. This is not something they've thought about. And all of a sudden you look up and you're 62, 65, 66 years old, and you realize that maybe we're a little closer to the end than we'd like to think. How do we start this conversation? How do we start this process?
Well, I think leveraging the assistance of a financial advisor that has a comprehensive approach to wealth planning is one of the better avenues that people can go down with regard to getting their wealth transfer plan in place. What I would look for is a financial advisor who has relationships with attorneys and CPAs and maybe other financial professionals, because that offers the best platform for the creation of that comprehensive wealth transfer plan. So for those individuals that are motivated to do so, they could certainly go to our website, which is rbcwealthmanagement.com, and look for an advisor in their area and pick up the phone and have a conversation about what their process is and how they would approach, creating an overall wealth transfer plan.
And that sounds like a good place to stop it right there.